is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Guardian 96.9 FM, and the show is Nailed It. My name is Leonard Sands.
And I am Debbie Deal.
And today, we're going to get into some serious matters relating to construction. You know, for a long time, and I want to go back, Debbie, and let me talk about how we got here. And when I say we, how I got here. I am a son of a carpenter turned contractor's father, okay? I then looked at how construction, I believe, at a time was an incredibly beautiful art form, done by persons who would have had the benefit of being trained by either the guilds or the craftsmen that was left here from the British pre-independence. Let's talk about the history of construction in this country. And then we would have seen the forefathers of construction in our country being the Carl G. Trico's, the Cavalier Construction, formerly Balfour Beatty, if you're old enough to understand that construction company, were the very few general contractors. When I say general contractor, I mean large-scale contractors who at the time did things like the PMH, who did things like the Radisson. And there were not a lot of general contractors. Everyone was doing residential construction. Fast forward that 25, 30 years later, construction has become, based on the National Statistics Institute, even up until yesterday or day before, construction drove our GDP for the third quarter of 2024 at an estimated 57 point some odd million dollars in that quarter, outpacing even tourism. But yet, the professionals, the persons, the craftsmen in construction garner very little respect. And I'll tell you why. Because we have an economy and a system that is driven by politics and politicians who are lawyers. And I just had a conversation with a young man who I'd mentored, who's now working as a project engineer in Tampa. And I explained to him that a politician who studied as a lawyer is great at law. He understands the mens rea, actus reus, the conditions of which you can get bail and how you could avoid a situation or get a remedy for a situation. But what he cannot tell you is the impact of construction on a small community where Debbie and her friends go out to work and your street is empty. And the young men between 17 and a half to 24 are not engaged in a construction job because they can't work in the banks. They don't have the aptitude or the interest. They can't go and work in the insurance company because you have to fill out and complete that examination. They're not realtors. They're not your doctors. You're not the lawyers. And they only have construction. And then we import a lot of labor. So they're sitting down on the block and your street is empty. They're going to break into your house because they see the car you drive and they want a car too. They see the clothes you wear, Debbie, and they want that clothes too. They see your nice $8,000 living room window, and they imagined that they could get that for their mom too, and I'm just picking at you. So we'd be foolish to believe that the desires that we have and the things that we could afford because we earn a living. Persons who don't earn a living want that too. But if they can earn a living, I believe that they can do so. And I've said this over and over. Construction, I want this to be recorded, and I want anyone who believes this to call in, and I want people who believe that construction has saved a number of persons in our country to support this effort. If it were not for construction, the crime that we see would have been exponentially worse. Exponentially. I work on a job site where 300 young men show up to work every day and don't fight each other. So don't tell me it is impossible for young men to work for 8 hours and don't get in a quarrel. For 9 years, I witnessed only two incidences where there was an interaction between young men. 300 persons every day from 7 a.m. to 4:30 in the afternoon working together in hot, difficult, strenuous working environment, going to work, earning an income, going to the lunch area, eating lunch, coming back to work, working and leaving every single day for 6.5 days a week. Don't tell me that the crime situation is because we have uncultured men who can't figure out a way to do it. They do it every day. They do it because they're working. The ones who are committing the crime are not working, Debbie. The ones that we see around the place who's waiting to break into your car is not working. And I've said several years ago, I believe, and I firmly believe, construction could be a solution to our crime problem. I argue that there are always going to be someone among your community who wants to do ill things to people. But I also believe that if you engage people with work, they don't have the time to do it. So the solutions are there. Now let's talk about corruption, because that's what I really wanted to talk about. In the construction space alone, we understand how corruption works. And I wish someone would, I dare someone call. I want someone from the OPM call. I want someone from the Ministry of Works to call. I want someone from NIB to call. I don't care who you are, your favorite politician, pastor, call. Call. Dare me. Tell me I'm a liar. I can walk into any ministry and pay for what I want. I said it. I want to make sure everyone can hear me. I can walk into any government ministry and pay for what I want. You know why? Because the persons in the ministry is frustrating the system, so I have to pay for it. Because if I put in my paperwork the regular time, and it should take 2 days, and I come there in 2 days, they haven't done it. I ask for it. I'm frustrating them by asking for it. So I say, what can I do to make this happen? Because I need this document. Oh, I don't know. As they look up in the ceiling, and I find a way to put my hand in my back pocket and go in my wallet and pick out a nice fresh $100, and boom, magically, the document appears. I've had instances when I was a draftman, we put in a file through our architect's office, can't find the entire file. It's only 80 pages. Somehow, we came back to the office the next day with a nice envelope with $500 in it. And somehow they went in the back and come out with the file. I'm not talking anything that has not happened in reality. And again, I dare someone to tell me I'm lying because I absolutely have receipts. So I know everyone's listening out there. This is my voice telling you exactly what our challenge is in this country. And it works for us. I can walk a developer from off a plane into a very senior person's office to get a sit-down meeting where you would take months to even get an appointment. I just need to know what the number is. So I don't want us to get mystified about the corruption which we believe is now, poof, just happening. It's even in construction. We've had instances also that I witnessed where a person like Debbie or me or some other good contractor would have bid a job and someone who was not even on the bid list gets the contract. What do you think that is? Someone who was not even on the bid list got the contract. Or somehow you was told that we decided not to go with this contract. It's not going to happen. And 2 months down the line, you see building coming out of the ground. I say, it wasn't going to happen. Oh, we decided that we're going to get this guy to do it anyway. This is the country we live in. We know that we have corruption rampant in our country. Now, I hear the Prime Minister, and I believe he believes he's going to shake the tree. He does not have a big enough stick. A backhoe could shake the tree, and you could not remove all the bad apples from anything. But if we just want to focus on construction, let's go down the line. Debbie, there is an ongoing construction to the old BTC building on JFK. Who is the contractor?
I have no idea, but it's been going on forever.
What is the scope?
I have no idea.
How much millions are committed?
I have no idea.
When is it supposed to finish?
I didn't even know if BTC owned the building or if the government owned the building. I have no idea.
Public?
I don't think.
Public building.
Was it?
Owned by the public, 51%. That's our building.
Was it?
It's our building, 51%, last time I checked.
Was it on Bonfire? 49 plus 2. Was it on Bonfire?
Nope.
Oh.
It's one of them other multi-million dollar projects. That's not on Bonfire. That maybe didn't go to bid. That you didn't know the contractors is. There's not even the requirement now that you have a post-it to say what the scope is, mm-hmm. who is doing the contract, how much was it awarded. Right. Low-hanging fruit stuff.
Right. You know, most countries actually do that. They actually post all of the contracts and who's doing it and that kind of thing. Because once you let people know what is actually going on and is being done legitimately.
Yeah, legitimately.
Then people would actually want to bid and want to be a part of that. But when you actually have to go behind closed doors to try to find out who's got the contract, that doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes sense to the people who benefit from it.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense to the rest of us.
It doesn't make sense to the rest of us. So we had the elections for the Bahamian Contractors Association yesterday. And we have a new executive board, which is going to be introduced to the public by way of press conference later next week. Bright individuals, passionate about construction in this country. But let me speak to the reasons where some persons talked about the wider construction community and where are they and how come they don't show up. Let me tell persons who may be listening, hear me clearly. I spoke to one of the leading contractors, quote unquote, fingers in the air. I said, why aren't you a member of the BCA? Oh, I don't need to be a member of the BCA. I say, why would that be? He said, my friend, I do $25 million a year in government contracts. And I said, how do you get that? I just sit inside a politician's office and I ask him what you got to do. And he tell me I have these things to do. I said, okay, can I have this one? Yeah, you could have that one. You can't have this one, but you could have this one. This is the person telling me.
Well, that's
does that seem like a correct process?
No, it doesn't. But you know what? That is absolutely wrong in the first place. But the thing is,
it happens.
The Contractors Association is an association of contractors, subcontractors, suppliers. It's the industry of construction.
It is.
And we need to support each other. And the only way we can do it is to actually participate. Just you, if you cast a blind eye to us, how are we supposed to grow? How are we supposed to teach young contractors how to work? How are we supposed to go to a job site that somebody has complained about something and actually look and see what is actually wrong so that we could guide them?
But they don't care about that.
Well, yes, because they're making lots of money.
Exactly.
But if your belly is full,
you don't care about the next guy who's hungry.
In life, you actually have to make a difference. You actually have to help your own people.
That's the ideal, Debbie. And that's the sad thing. That's the ideal. You and I would wish that that's how people think. But if I can always go and get a $10 million contract without talking to anyone other than the guy sitting behind a big desk, what do you think I'm going to do? And you think I could care less about the contractors who are out there fighting and doing the work and getting the right thing? And I'm saying all this to say,
but that's why this country is in a mess.
Part of the problem.
Yes, we're in a mess because people don't really care about other people.
Absolutely not.
And, you know, remember, you're too young, but back in the day, there was a workshop on Hay Street, and it was Mr. Solomon.
I know the workshop.
Yeah, right. I love that man, and I love the work that he did, and he always had apprentices in there. He was always training young men, and this was when, you know, the windows were sash windows, and they were made out of mahogany and all this kind of stuff. That was a craft. I mean, that was an amazing craft, and he trained other persons to do that. I don't know anybody who does that anymore.
I think you talking about a time which we cared about the next generation of builders, the next generation of craftsmen.
Well, I have kids and I have grandkids. So why wouldn't I want to care about things like that? Because their future rests. I mean, whatever we do, we could screw up our kids' life depending on what we do.
Or we could actually make it better
and make a good place for my grandkids as well.
So you think that the persons who see nothing wrong with contracts being, not say awarded, they find a way to get the contracts, mm-hmm. circumventing all processes mm-hmm. to their benefit. Do you think they care about that?
Apparently not.
Do you think they care?
Apparently not. Apparently not.
And even if they don't care, why don't the people who's issuing the contracts care? That's a bigger question for me. That's a bigger question. Huh? Maybe. They could not care enough. Someone beyond them should care.
The only thing
care.
I can think of is then they have more control. If they've chosen the person that's going to do the job, they have more control than if they put it out to bid, because they may not know the person who's going to actually, or the company that's going to do
it. Why would
the
they need to know?
I don't know. You know what?
Do you know the individual
it's all foolishness.
In a hotel that mm-hmm. made your dinner? You don't know the chef. You don't know the mm-hmm. sous chef. See, this whole thing, you don't need to know. You need to know one thing. In the hotel, you believe that the chef is qualified to be a chef, the sous chef is qualified to be a sous chef, mm-hmm. and you can get a great meal. That's the expectation. Mm-hmm. The bidding process is no different.
Right.
But if you only go to the guy because you believe that's your personal friend and this can go a certain way and what's not, phones are not lighting up. Mm-hmm. They need to call.
They'll call later.
They'll call later because mm-hmm. everyone wants to hide behind the realities.
Yeah,
this is why we're in this mess today.
Yeah.
And further to the point, let me say this. The chickens will come home to roost in a big, terrible way in our country. Let me look at this. Every time you decide that we find a solution for another major hotel project or another development or another project where you say the local people need to not apply, need to stand on the side, and we bring in whether it's the Mexicans or the Peruvians or the people from the Czech Republic or the Italians or the Spanish or whoever it is to that community and do the work that people can do rather than investing in them. Oh, sorry, let me add my friends, the Chinese, who in fact, even members of the church are not immune from bringing in labor out of the country to build structures in the country where the community will not benefit except for to watch something go up. They will learn nothing, gain nothing, and you will get your thing. And that's what I would say. You can get your thing, you know. But when you get your thing, the residue effect is that young person sitting down, I always remember, would be angry. See, I watched the Point build for 3.5 years and all the young men in Bain Grandstand watched that build and asked himself, why can't I work on this project? You're not Chinese. You know how that feels? It's in your community. You can't work on it. Yeah. This has to stop because at one point in time, it's going to come to a place where people say enough. And the construction community is part of this problem. Every time we take a young person and you go on Carmichael Road or Cowpen Road and you decide to fill up your truck with illegals and you bring them to your job site, and there could be young people and they may be hard to find. I'm not saying that these challenges don't exist. Mm-hmm. But an entrant into your country who does not have the right to work should not take work away from people
correct.
Who have the right to work.
Correct. Do you know, 40 plus years ago, if I'm not mistaken, when you read the Bahamas Handbook, construction was the number one industry, banking was the second, and tourists was third or fourth, right? That's what it was 40 plus years ago, right? And now it hasn't really changed much.
No, it's still majorly the same way.
It is, but it's different. Like you said, because foreigners are able to come in here and bring in their own. Okay, so this is my interpretation of why we're having trouble getting our board chosen for the Contractors Act to be executed is, in my humble opinion, and not BCA's, I believe that when a company comes to the Bahamas and has a $500 million project, and they go to the government and they say, all right, well, we're ready now. We are looking for licensed contractors. Mm-hmm. And the government has to say to them, well, we don't have any licensed contractors. And then whoever it is, I've said this on the radio before, the people that they're getting their money from, whether it's EU, whether it's Jeff, 5Cs, World Bank, IDB, wherever the money is coming from, they require licensed contractors. So the government is then able to say to them, don't worry. What we'll do is you can bring in your own people and we will give you the work permits for it. And that's what happens. And that's where we have young persons that are, like you say, sitting on the blocks, getting up to no good, because they actually watch and see this going on.
Yep.
It's not like this is all done
in secret. No, they're watching it.
You can see this. Yeah. You know, you can watch foreigners walking down the street, like 10 or 12 of them that are working on a project. Why can't those be our people walking down the street?
Because, unfortunately,
going to lunch.
Unfortunately, Debbie, because our own politicians have sold us out. You know, I find it interesting. The same politicians will come and tell you, we believe in the Bahamas, we believe in Bahamians, we're all for you, we're concerned with the small guy. All this crap they run around mm-hmm. at election time. And the very next time they have an opportunity to stand up and believe in Bahamians, they don't.
Yeah.
And what saddens me really is the public. The public don't seem to care that that's what's happening to us. Mm-hmm. How do you become so comfortable with the government saying to an investor, we don't have a labor force to build your projects, but bring your project anyhow and just bring the people. Mm-hmm. Rather than...
Because we do have the labor, but we just don't have licensed labor.
Yeah, that's part of it. But I also mm-hmm. offer this. If that happened in 2001 mm-hmm. and we in 2024, mm-hmm. at what point in time would you be smart enough to do something about it? So either we have a bunch of idiots running our country, which I believe 90% we do, or we are people who simply don't have the capacity to care for their people. Debbie, if you told me the next time I see you and I come to your house and I want some fish and you serve me chicken and I'm allergic to chicken and I serve you fish again, I'm trying to kill you. Isn't that something you would believe, right, Debbie? So
much.
If you have a population mm-hmm. that 2001, someone told you, I'd like to bring this project, you don't have 300 people to do this thing. Let's call it painting.
Right.
12 years later, or 10 years later, it's 2011 now, I come again, another painting project. Oh, you still don't have no people. I'm going to bring my people again. Put another 10 years on that. 2021 now. We still don't. I'm going to. What kind of dumb countries? What kind of country is led by some dumb individuals when you give them a test 5 and 6 times over 20 years and they can't pass it and they didn't prepare for it? You got to be dumb.
You know, you said something earlier. You said something about, you know, the guys, I guess, over the hill or whatever.
Yeah, and Bain Grounds.
Hang on. And Bain's not sitting on the blocks and that kind of stuff, right? And then you said something about, well, it may not be easy to find these persons. Well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you a story. So the rugby union, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Andrew Bain, who's a rugby player, he actually wanted to start the youth rugby again. So what he did is he went out and bought a bus, a 38-seat bus, mm-hmm. and he drove through Mason Addition, Grantstown, Baintown, and collected young boys to play rugby. And they are, every Saturday, they are at the rugby pitch on Rugby Drive out east, mm-hmm. and they go there, they cook food for them, like they do a barbecue mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff, and when there's t-shirts and all that kind of stuff, when we have events, they go around and sell the t-shirts, because that money comes in to actually buy uniforms and stuff,
for
and
the
then we
and stuff,
right
yeah.
and then we have other persons that, but these kids are there, but mm-hmm. they continue. Somebody has taken an interest. Andrew lives in Baintown. He has taken an interest
in
the people there, mm-hmm. and they are easy to find.
I do not disagree with you.
So you could imagine these young men have now this discipline that mm-hmm. they get rugby. They're going to take that with them everywhere they go.
That's correct.
Right? And other people can't do that?
Yeah, they can.
The government can't do that?
They don't
We
want
couldn't
to.
Give us the opportunity to actually hire our own people to do the job?
The same challenges
I
met.
The money that they would make for us in our licensing, if we got our to license, would be as much as they would get in work permits.
Work permits, yeah.
Yes.
It's short-sightedness.
And you'd be putting money into our pockets so that the people here could actually buy groceries instead of having to steal, or instead of having to try to, you know, do things that they wouldn't
Need
normally
do.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Debbie, I'm so disappointed.
Sorry.
I'm so disappointed most of the time when you and I and others could espouse solutions, mm-hmm. but seemingly politicians can't come up with any. That I don't like the conversation you and I had the other day. I do not believe that is true. I believe that they know that there can be solutions. They're not interested in solutions. They're too selfish, interested in whatever they can get, how they can gain, what they can get. Because don't tell me you have a population every year of, let's say, population of high school leavers of 5,000. Let's go 50-50. 2,500 of them is male. Out of that 2,500, you may get 300 or 400 of them going off to college. Let's say another 300 or 400 of them goes into the banking, and maybe under 150 gets into other white-collar work. Mm-hmm. Out of that, you still got about 1,500 every single school year that's coming out needing a job in construction. Correct. But if you look on the list, what did the last report say from the Department of Immigration? We got about 90,000 people on work permit. What are we doing? What are we doing?
We're eliminating Bahamians is what we're doing. Bahamians get an opportunity to go away to school, and then they end up staying there to work, and they don't come back.
And they should, because they we're making no provision for them, and even the lowest entry place, which is construction. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we get into more of it after the break. This is Nail It on Guardian 96.9.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
But the sickness more than crack, and they just build this house. Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack because I rot in steel.
I guarantee the fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt in it. And then over time, you start to rotten. And just like a flower ball crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527 or visit our Facebook and IG page at our development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and a crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show called Nailed It. Now that we have rattled a few cages, I want to give you the phone numbers that you can call to reach us. You could call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Toll free from the Family Islands is at 242-300-5720. You could text us on Guardian Radio text line 422-4796, powered by BTC. Standard text rate applies. Or you could listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. Streaming live also, audio and video on GuardianTalkRadio.com.
All right, I think we got them all. And then we'd like to also take a moment to thank our wonderful sponsors of the show, which are Wolseley Construction, ARM Caribbean, CBS Pro Store, ART Development, ETS, Engineering and Technical Services, Simex Bahamas, Stone Oak Bahamas, and Stormframe. Mr. Lightburn, I'm going to call you tomorrow. So, continuing with our topic about construction, corruption, it is always something that should affect everyone in the worst possible way. I took a photo of you, Debbie. Because Debbie, you're an environmentalist, and you know how I feel about that. environmentalist is you could hug all the trees, but you know, when we continue the cutting down acres and acres and acres of land, and you told me for every acre of land you cut down, you should provision some tree planting. It's only about 40 acres cleared, and it's just scrap. Wow. Claire. It's just Who's going to stop them?
Well,
who's going to stop them?
If you're
going
to clear, you're supposed to plant.
But
you said last week something that I had not even thought of.
What's that?
I don't know why I didn't. Mm-hmm. That every new government building that you look at has no trees.
None. That's the government.
I started looking around and
none.
And it's the Forestry Act of 2010.
They got 10 trees at most on the Paul L. Adley building. The building, Ministry of Works got three trees on the property. The Ministry of Works. So it's crazy. We put things on paper, and I don't believe, and I say this unapologetically, mm-hmm. I don't believe that the legislators who craft these bills ever read it. Now, that's my personal belief. Because if you crafted a legislation that said, for every tree you remove, you put back one, the question they ask you, how did a new government building that you vetted, that you designed, that you built, doesn't have any trees on it?
And sometimes you see indigenous trees actually being cut down too, or bulldozed down, like mahogany and gamalame and yes. Those kind of, I mean, it's crazy.
But Debbie, all I'm saying is, we do things on paper to look good. It's like smoke and mirrors. We do it to look good. And when the international community come, you know, we pave road, we smile, we kiss. And the minute we go, we let them see the real backside of the country, which is just abysmal. And that's who we are. Now, I'm saying it how it is. That's who we are. We pretty up the road for the king and the people who's coming in the country. We kiss the babies and slap hands with them. And the next day, we're in the same dump where we was at. I mean, this is what it is. But we have to have an issue with that. You know why? Because when the politician shows up to your church and everyone stands up like the second coming of Christ and give him all this homage, for what? What are you doing? What did you do that I should honor you? What did you do? That's a question I asked. What did you do with the office of a policymaker that I should honor you? What did you do? And if you ask that guy that when he comes to your door, because they're going to come, and he doesn't have an answer for you, you close the door in his face. That's the litmus test for me. What did you do?
But the thing is, all right, so it's 5 years between? 4 years or 5 years?
5 years. Dr. Minister's 4 years. Okay. No one's going to try that again. 5 years.
Okay, so it's 5 years. So the only time you're going to see somebody is 5 years when they're knocking on your door?
Yep, that's it.
See, the thing is, we do have the ability to write letters to the editor. Candia Dame had mentioned we need more people writing letters to the editor. We do have the ability to actually write letters to the members of parliament, hand deliver them. They do have an obligation to answer those letters. We do have that right to do it. But I don't think most people are really care enough to actually do it.
Because only when it happens
to them. If somebody you know bulldozed a big huge piece of property beside theirs, and then maybe like a bunch of multifamily, and you're a single family, then you'd be upset because what's going on, right? My property value is being lowered, but they'll moan and groan. No. But are they going to really complain?
So what you complain? All right, let me give you another classic example. I have a friend of mine. She's popular. She makes an effort every time to say something in the papers, and she writes about the development which is going on, which, again, I told her it would happen anyhow, next to one of her good friend's house on Cable Beach. Mm-hmm. And I told her, now, if you understand how our country works, you would know that your effort is futile. And she's been addressing the matter from before they got the permit, from before they got town planning approval. And I said, you're still not going to be successful.
But you can't stop. You can't stop. What's the point?
It's okay not stopping.
Then we're as bad as everybody else. That's fine. It's okay not stopping. Anything.
But you could continue trying to ram your head through this concrete wall, too. You don't have to stop. You can pass out and die. Mm-hmm. But just know the wall's not going to move. Mm-hmm. Developments.
So how do we change it?
You have to change it by electing people who care about that thing. You didn't know the guy you elected. You didn't know what they care about. This is how we do it.
But how do we ever find out what they do like and what they are like?
First 12 months into the administration, the Bayman Contractors Association booked a meeting with the newly appointed Minister of Public Works and the person of Mr. Sayers.
Yeah, I was there.
Decent enough young man. You were there.
Robin and I were there.
I kid you not. The man didn't even know what the legislation was we were talking about. This is the Construction Contractors Act, which had been gazetted, that he voted on from 2016. He's now the minister. Never read past the first page. And I'm sitting there with you guys like, are you kidding me? How are we supposed to have an intelligent conversation where we're the only one intelligent about the conversation we're about to have? And these are the people we expect to change things when they pass legislation that they didn't even read. How do you manage something that you don't even understand? So we're sitting down there and telling them, who are you talking about when you talk about the association? Did you read the document which speaks to who the association is? And what are we going to do about the situation? It's on page 14 where it talks about... And I'm sitting there like... We organized a meeting with the minister in his office who had never read the act that's managed by his office. That he will be the controlling officer of appointing the board. It was the most embarrassing situation for him that I had to witness, because I'm like, it's no way. You imagine you showing up to the job site and you didn't even know where the building should be placed? That was our scenario. And I'm saying, take away from that scenario. This is who's running our country. You talk about the Forestry Act. I guarantee you, you know about more about the Forestry Act than the Minister of the Environment. I would bet you $100 you do. You know why? Because you care about that.
Yeah.
We have people. Well, this is the final thing I will go on. And I say this again. I'm saying it on air because I want the persons inside this community, and this community is very specific, to go up in arms about it. This year, we celebrated 50 plus one. Mm-hmm. 51 years as an independent nation, we believe we are. Not one single individual who is disabled and is in a wheelchair in this country can catch a public bus.
Right, you mentioned that.
Where would they put the wheelchair? So let me continue
with
that.
They need a lift, by the way. No,
you said several things they need. We know they need.
You have a place for the wheelchair, absolutely. But you still got to get into
the
bus.
They still have to get in it. So yeah. I'm saying you haven't even cared about the most vulnerable member of your society, Mr. or Miss Minister of Transport. For 3.5 years, you've been in office. Mm-hmm. There's people who can't even catch the bus only because they're disabled. You don't care that that's something that they don't have a right to, just like I'm a Bahamian that's able to walk. They are unable to catch the public transportation, and that's your job.
And they also...
But they would want to tell the contractors how to do our jobs? You got to be kidding.
But hang on. They're also... They started making sure that every business actually put in ramps, right? Now, hang on. Now, of course, the ones that you and I know are good, right? Mm-hmm. But most ramps that you see are so steep that there's no way anybody in a walker could go up or down it, and no way anybody could push a wheelchair up that. But
because they don't care
but
either.
Who checked that
no
ramp?
No one checked it.
To see that 1/8 of an inch per foot.
No one checked it. But that's our country.
But that's...
We like to write things on paper for wasting ink.
Do you know,
We're not serious about anything.
I find people in neighborhoods, like our neighborhood, until the neighbor in the very front, he and his son were approached with gunmen and robbed at gunpoint. Until that happened, we couldn't get a gate. We were trying to get a gate through everybody else. Nobody wanted to do it. But until that happened, within a week we had a gate.
I bet.
Within a week.
So it's called directly affected.
Thank you.
Unless you're directly affected. I hope that there would
That's
not be
sad.
A situation. I hope that the same people who do not care about the disabled community having the ability to catch public transportation never have to end up in a wheelchair and don't have a driver and don't have this not wonderful public service money to get them an attache and a driver, and they need to catch a bus to save their life to get to the hospital, and they can't even go on a public transportation. And if that doesn't bother you, if social services minister, that doesn't bother you, and talk to your colleague in transportation and say, hey, can we have one bus for the specially abled, for the challenged to walk? Mm-hmm. If that doesn't bother you, don't dare come into space where construction is, where we sit and talk about our issues and try to find solutions every day, again, without the help of government. We are only asking that you remove the shackles from our industry and appoint a board so we could carry on with our business and you could continue to stay out of it if that's what you want to do. That's really what we want. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. The construction community don't need anything from government. We are private sector. We go out and we find our customers. We get our work. We do our stuff. Right. But to be professionals at it, the only thing we want is for a board to be appointed to give us a license. That's
correct.
It.
Because if you think about it.
We don't need anything else from government.
If you think about it, if a person wants to build a house, the first thing that they have to do is they have to get the plan, and then they have to take it to Ministry of Works and send it in. And get the plan approved. It goes through a 24-step process, and then you get your approval, right? Then you have a plan, and the contractor can actually start because you have to have
a permit.
Your permit, and then you have to have your inspections. Mm-hmm. So during the inspections, all those things are done. At the end of the job, the electrical engineer, the electrician
for the job
has to
be licensed.
Right. He has to be licensed, mm-hmm. right?
The plumber.
The architect
has to be licensed.
Has to be licensed, mm-hmm. right? The electrician would have
has to be licensed.
He actually has to get the papers from building control to take them to BPL so that you could actually have BPL come and put service to your house, mm-hmm. right?
Everything licensed.
And the engineer who approves the engineering on your house, on your roof,
Has
to be licensed. We are not licensed, and we have to hire all of these licensed people.
We hire them.
Right. And
the unlicensed person hire all the licensed people.
Absolutely.
How dumb is that?
Right. That's ridiculous.
Only in the Bahamas.
That's ridiculous.
For 51 years, we're still talking about licensing contractors.
It's
a
ridiculous.
Young man who's an intern at the place where I work came back today. He's working in Tampa. He's looking about going to get his Florida GC's license. And he said, Mr. Science, I can't even qualify to take the exam yet. He can't even meet the conditions as a college graduate, been working for 2 years, qualified to take the exam yet. Wow. Because there's other conditions. You have to have financial backing to even sit the exam.
Wow.
Because they want you, if you're going to be a licensed contractor, you have to have the capacity to do construction to somebody in Florida. Florida's a retirement state.
Right.
They protect retirees.
Right.
The Bahamas, we don't protect. We don't care. Listen, I received a letter today, speaking as president of the Contracts Association, from an attorney, from a law firm, well-to-do law firm, bringing a matter before the Bahamian Contractors Association. Here's the first challenge. They always assume that everyone is a member of the BCA. And I can tell you, I wish every contractor was a member of the BCA. This person in question was not.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke about the matter, the person committed fraud in their presumably, in their instance, they got paid to do something, didn't do it. That question was asked, what could the BCA do? Nothing. Nothing. They're not our member. Mm-hmm. I can't even reach out and call them. Not my member. What they could do is have had to have been licensed to offer their service to the public. And under the Construction Contractors Act that is passed, that is legislation, their license could come up for review, and then we could do something about it. That's what the act proposes. We got a caller. Let's go to the caller right now. Caller, go ahead.
Caller, David Stark, you know, voice along with you.
Hey, Brayman.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm holding. Now, what I want to say, I'm physically blind, right?
Yes, sir.
But when I could have seen our bill from under the ground up, like all over the place, Paradise Island, East Bay Street, West Bay Street, all over the place I have worked. What I've noticed now, right, the people, some of the person in which you all have for contractors don't know the work.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I got a place built, right? And a lot of shoddy work that were done. One of the inspectors been here and inspect the work. And he still passed it. And I got a problem whereby the doors, two of the doors are too short. You know, I have some problem with in which I shouldn't have.
No, you shouldn't have had them.
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
But so it probably wouldn't be the building inspectors from the ministry.
Again?
It wouldn't be the building inspector from the Ministry of Works job to look at a door being too short. But whoever the finance company was that lent the money, they would have had an inspector.
The tiles that are laid in the bathroom on the wall, some of them are very much hollow.
Oh. Yeah, they didn't put enough thinset on.
Thinset behind.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, we know. We know.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Poor workmanship.
So, yeah, but Brayman, this is why we need people like you to actually write letters and say, listen, and invite somebody to come take a look at the work and say, listen, this is we need to be licensed so that this won't happen. Because imagine this: you go to court, you're complaining, the other lawyer's there for the contractor, and the lawyer says to the judge, I don't understand. What did you expect? What did you expect? We're not licensed. This is not, all you did is hire a person that has a business license. That says ABC Builders.
That's it.
Right? And that's the situation we are in, and that's the situation that you are in as a customer, because you really have no form of repercussion whatsoever.
Yeah.
So the corners, right? Which suppose have 3/4 steel, according to the size of the building, they have 1/2 inch steel.
Well, then that's a matter for building control then.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be 5/8. Yeah.
That's right.
So again,
I looked at it.
Anyway, I really want you to get somebody to write the letter for you and send it to your member of parliament.
Yeah, let him know.
And talk about the Construction Contractors Act and the fact that we need the board done by the ministry so that we could actually have licensed contractors.
And so that persons like you won't get taken advantage
Correct.
Of them because you don't deserve to have shoddy work.
No.
You don't deserve it.
Not only, say, licensed contractors, you need contractors who been through the whole situation, who know what to do.
Of course they do. They need to be skilled and trained. They need to know how to do it correctly that you don't have to tell them this isn't right. Yeah. I mean, come on. That's not... Yeah. I don't
like
go to McDonald's and tell them how to make a burger.
That's true.
Like I said, I worked all over the place. I worked from the ground up, like on Paradise Island. I built in the sand. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
I know about building.
Yeah.
But they don't know that I know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I hope you told them.
Yeah.
Well, they know now. But what I'm saying is, right, keep on doing what you're doing.
Yes.
Because the thing is, people are not people that call themselves contractors.
They're not.
They're not.
They're not.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brayman, thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, so, and guess what, Debbie? That is not an unusual call.
No, it's not.
We get it all the time. Sometimes I wish that the politician could sit in our office and receive some of these calls, and they'll understand what a disservice they're doing to the construction community, yes, to the Bahamas, when they're allowing this to happen to their citizens.
And the clients and the banks that are financing the clients.
Just terrible.
It goes all the way down.
But again, no one cares.
No one cares.
Certainly doesn't care.
Nobody.
But the BCA cares.
Yes, the BCA
definitely
does.
We'll be back after this break.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing a breakup wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air will ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to Russ forever.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches at Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. And we are still talking about corruption, construction, general corruption, just 242 stuff we deal with on a daily basis. But Debbie, the thing which frustrates me most, which really, 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 really gets under my skin, is this idea. This antidotal idea that there's nothing we can do about anything, that nothing can change. You know what can change? The people who manage this country. That can change. And it's not every 5 years. You make it uncomfortable for them to be there doing nothing or doing the wrong thing every day. Don't say, I only can address this every 5 years. You work, they work for you. We don't work for them. You know, this is why I've stopped giving politicians homage. I'm your boss. You're not my boss. I pay you. You don't pay me. I don't get money from you. The public pays you. You should enter a room and ask me, what do I want? I'm not entering a room and ask you, what do you want? See, I believe that all of us have done ourselves a disservice because somewhere along the line, we convince ourselves that the elected officials work for themselves and we owe them something. The last time I checked, they were elected to serve the constituents.
Correct.
That's the job.
That's the job.
I'm not standing at attention for somebody who works for me. I'm not. Now, I can give you respect, but I'm not. If I call you, you should answer. If I send you an email, you should respond. Mm-hmm. Now, I answered an email from a constituent who called, who was making complaint to the minister of Public Works. I was copied on the email, and I answered. I responded to her concern about some goings-on in her community. She was incredibly thankful, and she said in there, I mean, the minister who I sent this to, 3 weeks later, have not responded. Thank you, Mr. Sands, for at least acknowledging my communication and giving a response. It doesn't help that the BCA can't do anything about it, and I only copied you all on it, and I sent this to the minister. But the acknowledgement didn't even come from the minister. You know who was always copied? Also copied? Mm-hmm. The PS? The DPS?
Well, I was wondering.
No one responded.
Why the permanent secretary no
one
wouldn't respond.
Because no one cares. You're just a citizen.
But what
I say it frankly.
But what happened to that protocol that a government official is supposed to respond to every letter?
Oh, come on now. Who's going to enforce that? These people don't even disclose. Why? Debbie, you know, I love you, but you know, you live in a utopia. Okay?
I do wear rose-colored glasses.
No, they're not rosy. They are blood red because you can't see a damn thing. So, honestly, no one cares. Look at the behavior.
Yeah.
You tell me I have to license my car, right?
Uh-huh.
If I don't license my car, I get a ticket.
Correct.
Their law says they should disclose. They don't disclose. What happens then?
Nothing.
Then the PAC don't say anything about it. Then they just complain, oh, well, I asked them to disclose, and they didn't disclose. So what do you do then? Every time I get in front of the house, I'll complain about it. I'll get thrown out of the house. Because if I think you don't care about it, why would I care? And then now you see the people walking around and driving around without license plates.
Well, that's what I was just going to say.
Why would I?
How the long guys does who it lead take me to don't make disclose. License plates? I mean, maybe order them on Amazon.
I don't know. I've given up. You know what I'm going to say? And this is non-construction related. I've witnessed how not to run a country by watching how we run a country.
Yeah.
I could take any banana republic and run it better than this. I can. Now, I don't know who else can, but I can. Because all I have to do is do a little better than what we're doing, which is absolutely almost nothing. So if that's all the litmus, if that's the standard, I'm way better than that stuff.
Mm.
In my sleep. Anyway, back to construction.
Yes.
So in closing out this show, we've had elections.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a new mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Minister Clay Sweden, I'm calling your name because we're coming to see you. Two things you could do. You could either decide not to see us, or you could see us. We're going to ask you this question. We're giving you a heads up. When is the board going to be appointed? And I've mentioned this already, and I want to attack this. Two governments, F&M government and the PLB government, has appointed the contractors registrar, who does not have a job. I like Dr. Melissa Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Does not have a job unless the board is appointed.
Correct.
Yet, they've appointed the contractors registrar,
mm-hmm.
but not the contractors board. Y'all got a salary to throw away on nothing. So I want you to hear me. When we tell you we're coming to see you and tell you, ask you this question, how does it make sense to have a contractors registrar for the last 3.5 years without the appointment of contractors board? You're going to tell me, the act has to be amended first. That's not a condition to the board being appointed.
Correct.
The licensing of contractors has nothing to do with the board being appointed.
And truthfully,
the act provides for the statutory board to be appointed.
They did a BPL, if you remember. They did an electricity act, and then they revised it, did another electricity act, and then they did another one just recently. What was it, 6 months ago or early in the spring?
With the board being there.
Redid it again.
Yeah, with the board being there.
And then because somebody complained about something the very next day, they changed some other things in it. So that could be done anytime.
It can be done at any time.
Yes.
And the point we make is that there's nothing, and I say it again, on air, for the record, there's nothing preventing the Construction Contractors Board to be appointed. It is the minister and the cabinet of Bahamas who, again, the prime minister, through the OPM, told the public that they would talk to us in short order. That short order has been 2.5 months ago.
And if you don't have the funds for it because you didn't apply for it in the last budget, Ministry of Works could possibly have at least one office that they could actually use as the office for the board.
They don't need funds for it.
No, but they need...
The licensing fees will pay for itself.
Well, yes.
It comes to the board.
Yes, that's true.
It doesn't go to the government.
Yes, that's true.
The fees, the board is autonomous. Right. This is what people don't understand and the politicians need to understand. The board will do the job of running construction. It does not need government. Just like the architects board. The architects board, don't you ever hear them ask the government for anything?
Nothing.
The engineers board.
No.
They don't need it.
No.
The board runs the industry.
Right.
All we've been asking for 51 years is the autonomy, the ability to run our industry. You could stay and run law. Can you let the contractors run construction, please? Mm-hmm. That's it. End all.
Right.
That's it. I do not understand why, for parties that consider themselves progressive, hinder progress in this way. It's embarrassing. I wish Latre would call. I dare you, brother. Call me. Tell me how that's progressive to hinder growth and development. I said it before. Construction being at this quarter, $57 million, only is 30% at best of what it could really be if we had licensed contractors in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have $150 million in activity this quarter. But politicians who are lawyers can't appreciate that because you study law. You don't study construction. You don't understand the dynamics of what people are comfortable with. You don't understand when someone's in Canada and want to do business in a very litigious community over there and come to the Bahamas and you tell me you're not licensed, right? And this $1.5 million house that I want built in Lyford Key, I'm going to let you build it. And if something happens, I have no recourse, but I should continue going.
Right.
I don't think that makes sense
no.
to me.
It doesn't.
And because you can't think about it that way.
Yeah.
But that's how the person who's mm-hmm. dealing with laws and understanding how things should go mm-hmm. thinks about things.
Yeah. Foreigners are absolutely more important than us.
And what do we do? Continue to fight. That's the job of the BCA. And
well,
to persons who don't understand
fighting.
What we do,
we're
we
fighting.
Fight.
We're fighting.
We continue to fight.
We continue to fight.
Because we're not going to rest until
we
have licensed contractors.
We're on this show.
Absolutely.
Because
and we're not going to stop.
And we're not going to stop. We are not going to stop.
This country cannot, and I say cannot, progress into the nation we should be without licensing contractors.
It's kind of embarrassing when, you know, you're one of the top five most expensive places to live.
In the world.
We have, you know, the highest GDP of
a nation is
of most
in
nations
the world.
In the world. And we have all of that. And then you have the fancy dancy hotels and then just drive around the rest of the country and see.
Yeah.
Right? It's very sad. It's very sad.
But we live in smoke and mirrors.
Hmm?
We live in smoke and mirrors. We okay with they're going to do nice resort in Exuma and replace the sandals with another upgrade and that's going to be nice, it'll be shiny and then we could have, mm-hmm. there's another, I can't wait till they start the phase two of Bahamar and what's mm-hmm. next to it. It's going to be mm-hmm. nice, I imagine. Mm-hmm. And then
it's
I expect...
Because they're making things nice for foreigners.
Yeah,
they're not making them. Now, I do...
They're going to be nice 3,000 laborers coming from mm-hmm. some country somewhere. To do the work. I expect
yeah.
that. That's the expectation. And that's a sad thing.
It is sad.
When the expectation now is that Bahamian contractors won't get to work. That's
yeah.
a really sad thing.
When
in
you
the
look
country.
At the amount of persons that are living below the poverty line in this country and they don't need to because they could be working on any job site in this country. Not saying that you have to, you know, they could be doing anything.
They could
right?
be doing anything.
They could be.
But the lowest entry job, the easiest yeah. entry job is construction.
Mm-hmm.
I often tell someone, if you could lift a bucket, mm-hmm. you could be employed in construction.
Yeah.
Why would you have somebody from India lifting a bucket in the Bahamas? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
No.
But it makes sense to a politician.
Yeah.
I
and then we
it.
Wonder what's going to happen with our kids and our grandkids and down the road, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's
so,
not going to be any better.
We hope that this show
mm-hmm.
has opened some eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that this show has insulted someone,
mm-hmm.
prodded them in a way that they feel that they can do better. If you're in an office where you have responsibility to behave in public, in the construction space, do more than your words. Change things, if not only for us, for the generation that is coming up that wants to live in a better Bahamas because of the efforts that you do, please, please make sure that we have the appointment of the Construction Contractors Act. That's what I want, the board, for my Christmas present. If you could do one thing, just do that. Just that. Because then we could take care of everything else by ourselves.
Right.
So on that, this is Nailed It. I'm Leonard Sands.
And I'm Deborah Deal.
And we hope you enjoy the rest of the evening.
There is a time to face stormy weather, but we are always standing strong, a lifetime together. A baby, you and I, we don't regret anything. Now it's the two of us again, against the wind, against the wind.